I was asked this morning to talk about the passage Rob read to us from Mark, and I'm here after a lot of emails with Hillary, and we sorted things out. I was asked to talk about an introduction to mission. So what is mission? The Oxford Dictionary says, amongst other things, a body sent by a religious community to propagate its faith. Fields of missionary activity, missionary post, organisation in a district for conversion of the people, course of religious services for this purpose. Quite a mouthful, isn't it? Mission. But Mark states this mission as a great commission. Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation." I've put some slides up of the verses I'm using from the Bible, and John's put them on the screen. So if he puts the wrong one on, or I read the wrong one, just yell and say that's not what's on the screen. But this reiterates what's in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 28:19. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." Some years ago, our son Matt felt led that God was leading him to go with one of the BMS action teams to a different country for 6 months. In those days, the teams were known as the 2819 team, and Matt raised the money and, with the help of Histon Baptist Church, went off to Jamaica for 6 months. It was a hard 6 months, taking the gospel into an area of Kingston in Jamaica which was very poor and run down. And then after 3 months there, he went to a church in the mountains, which was very, very poor, and people walked several miles on a Sunday to go to church. Jan and I went out to see what the team was doing and were amazed at how they were coping as 17 and 18-year-olds and working to shine God's light into that poor, dark area of the world. When Jan and I went out, Matt said, "Would you come to this church and preach?" So I got a sermon ready, and Matt came down to where we were staying with the minister of the church, and the minister said, "Are you all right preaching?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Don't make it over 2 hours. About 2 hours is right." So I'd got my 20 minutes, but we muddled through. Matthew's Gospel 15, verses 14 to 16, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and after the Beatitudes says to them and to us, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When I was in the Merchant Navy, a long time ago now, one of the most important devices we wanted to see at night was, what do you think? A light from where? A lighthouse, yeah. And do you know where that is? This is the history lesson for today. The lighthouse of Alexandria, that in Egypt, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And in fact, when I was in the Mediterranean, that's not there now, by the way, but you could see well over nearly 100 miles at night, you could see lighthouses when the visibility was good. So what the Bible tells us is that we, as a church and as individuals, are to be like a lighthouse and to the world, to bring God's light to those in darkness. And that's more the sort of lighthouse we recognise today, bringing light into the darkness for those in peril on the sea. So let's look at that light. Light shines. Light is reflected. Light acts as a warning. Firstly, light shines. Have you ever bumped about in the darkness at night, got out of bed and bumped straight into the chest of drawers? Desperate to go somewhere and... no, nobody. Well, I have. And you do it quietly, you get out of bed quietly because you don't want to wake anybody up, and then you bump into the chest of drawers and say a word like blow and wakes the whole house up. At the bottom of our garden, they built some new houses and extended the road. And one day Jan and I went out and we came back, and right at the bottom of our garden, right in the centre, was this huge light. And we thought, well, we don't like that. And we got them to move it a bit, and we wanted it taken away. But we had a security man came who gave us a security check of the house. We got that free because we're old. And he said, don't cover that light up, because that deters people from wanting to get into your garden. So it's still there. The job of a light is to illuminate the darkness. Light is proactive. It dispels darkness. Darkness is the absence of light, but light is not the absence of darkness. Light can penetrate and dispel darkness, but darkness cannot overcome light. John 9, verse 5 says, Jesus had healed a blind man, and continues, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And as we already read in Matthew 5, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. So it's clear from God's word that the lost world lives in darkness, and Jesus wants us to shine into that dark world. Acts 13, verse 47, Paul says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, Paul warns us that if we fail to shine our light, people will perish. People will perish. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Anybody have a mole in their garden? Well, a mole is a creature that spends nearly all its time in darkness, doesn't it? And therefore has very poor eyesight. It used to be thought that moles were blind, but they just have very, very poor eyesight. We can't open the eyes of a mole so that it can live in the light, but we can lift the veil of blindness from a lost person using the gospel of Jesus. Some people like to go fishing at night and set up a light to attract the fish. Does anybody go night fishing? No? Day fishing. But they do. They take a light to attract the fish. And again, when I was in the Merchant Navy, if in the Caribbean particularly, we used to shine a light over the side of the ship, and it would attract flying fish. And the flying fish would come flying along, and then a dolphin would follow them to eat them. And the dolphin would bump his nose on the ship. But we shined, that was just fun to find out, see the flying fish come through the water. Jesus said in Mark 1, verse 17, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We all need to shine our light and go fishing for the lost, to bring them to Jesus and to the truth of the gospel. Light is reflected. There's a song, some of you will know it, some younger ones won't, "By the Light of the Silvery Moon." You remember that? Yeah. Is it true? By the light of the silvery moon? Is it true? It's not, is it? No. We do not see the light from the moon. We see the light of the sun reflected in the moon. Our light is not our own, but it's the light of Jesus reflected in us. John 1, 6 to 9. "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light to every man was coming into the world." So we are told, John was sent from God. So are we. John was not the true light. Neither are we. John was a witness of the true light. So can we be. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Other translations make that clearer. "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Our witness will only be as effective as the degree to which we reflect the image of Jesus." Light warns. John 3, verses 6, 17 and 20. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Has anybody looked in the Gideon's Bible at the beginning? That verse is translated, I think it's into about 45 languages, and it covers 3/4 of the population of the world that speak one of those languages. The famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Everyone who commits evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has achieved has been done through God." The word condemnation in the Greek, anybody speak Greek? Oh good, so I can say it with, is krisis, from where we get our word crisis. There's a story of a lighthouse keeper who worked on a rocky stretch of coastline and who received his supply of oil once a month to keep the light burning. Not being far from the shore, he sometimes had requests for some oil from people who lived round about. One month, several people asked him for oil, and the lighthouse keeper tried to please them. He tried to please them all by giving them oil. And towards the end of the month, his oil ran low, and then the light went out. That night, ships were wrecked and lives were lost. The authorities investigated, and the man was very repentant, but he was told, You were given the oil for one purpose, to keep the light burning. So we, as a church body, are like a lighthouse. All around us are lost people, their lives in crisis because they are lost. We must be a light to bring them to Jesus. So we have seen that this light shines to overcome the darkness. It reflects so that we may reflect the love and light of Jesus and bring his light to others. And it warns that without that love and light, people's lives are in crisis. Jesus, however, has commanded us to go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. That's not easy, is it? It's a bit daunting, isn't it? Go out into the world and preach to all nations. We sometimes shy away from bringing that message to others in our homes, our work and our leisure. It's much easier to talk to Jesus, isn't it, to those we know who have already seen the light. I don't think God expects us or calls us all to be missionaries by standing on a box in the market square. I know I couldn't do that. Anybody here could do it? And or by going out to other countries. But we can be missionaries in various ways. By prayer, giving our time to others, to reflect God's love for us, by giving our money for those in need. There are various ways of being missionaries and fulfilling God's purpose for us. So let us pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to direct our words and actions so that we, as missionaries, may help people see the light and turn to Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Amen.